Let's come to our God now in prayer and ask for his blessing upon his holy word. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your word about prayer. We know more about prayer than we practice. But we do ask that these words would not be simply more words of information about prayer, but that these words, by the work of the Spirit in our hearts, would actually inspire us to prayer. And may we become a prayer-trusting people. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're up to Lord's Day 46, so I ask you to first of all turn to that. You'll find that on page 59 at the back of the Psalter hymnal. Page 59, past the songs, Lord's Day 46, as we deal with the address of the Lord's Prayer, as that particular Lord's Day focuses upon that. And there we're asked, why did Christ command us to call God our Father? At the very beginning of our prayer, Christ wants to kindle in us what is basic to our prayer, the childlike awe and trust that God, through Christ, has become our Father. Our fathers do not refuse us the things of this life. God, our Father, will even less refuse to give us what we ask in faith. Why the words, "Who art in heaven?" These words teach us not to think of God's heavenly majesty as something earthly, and to expect everything for body and soul from his almighty power. Let's also turn to God's word this afternoon, to the New Testament. We'll read now from Matthew chapter 7. Matthew 7, verses 7 to 11. And you'll find that on page 1118 of the Pew Bible. And this will be our text for this afternoon, as we see that in close relation to the theme of Lord's Day 46. Matthew 7, beginning our reading at verse 7 and reading down to verse 11. Hear now the words of the Lord. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? And that concludes the reading of God's holy and inspired word. May he bless that in our hearing this afternoon. And once again, encourage you to have your Bibles open before you. We'll be looking at Matthew 7 and verses 7 to 11. That will be our text for this afternoon. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, we all need a little encouragement from time to time. And that's certainly true if you're given a word of encouragement in your work or at work. I heard from one man who had a demanding supervisor how that supervisor had written two words on a report that he had submitted. He said, "Good job." That's all he had to say, "Good job." And that encouraged him in his work throughout the whole week. And you can have it also when you're looking for work, say after college or university, and you're not getting any interviews or not landing anything, and you start to wonder, you know, is this meant for me? Is this the job that is meant for me? And you get a little bit discouraged, until someone gives you a positive word that can lift your spirits. They might say, "You're so gifted, and I know that someone is going to recognize that and they're going to hire you. Just continue to trust in the Lord." A word of encouragement is something that can go a long ways. And if we are given it, then we're able to go on with God's help and blessing. Well, that's what we have before us in this passage. There are many things that the Lord demands of us in this so-called Sermon on the Mount, but it's never without His encouragement. For example, He forbids worry. We know in that passage that He speaks of within the context here, He forbids worrying about your life. You know, what you shall eat, what you shall wear, as you worry about the future. For as Jesus explains, your Heavenly Father knows what you need of all these things. He also says, let your light so shine before men so that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. And He goes on to add, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. And those are great demands that are placed upon us. They would cause us to despair if they were the only things that Jesus says. However, Jesus doesn't only call us to obedience. He also brings strength and encouragement. He invites us to lay aside our fears. He calls us to trust in our Heavenly Father. And here He calls us to prayer, to continue without ceasing. There's nothing more cheerful or more comforting in Scripture than this exhortation to seek our Father. And so in consideration of the opening address of the Lord's Prayer, hear the word of the Lord from Matthew 7, verses 7 to 11, under the theme, pray like this. And we'll look at this with 3 points. Pray with persistence, first of all. Secondly, with expectation. And then lastly, with confidence. So we're to pray first with persistence. We're to pray with persistence, imploring our Heavenly Father. And this we see in verse 7, where it says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be open to you. We have this threefold exhortation, this word of encouragement. And Christ is teaching in this verse that Christians must boldly implore the Heavenly Father for grace. Christians must go boldly to the Lord in prayer. Calvin once put it this way. He said, nothing is better adapted to excite us to prayer than a full conviction that we shall be heard. And how true that is. If you know someone or are related to someone who doesn't listen to you, doesn't want to hear you, you're very reluctant to come to them with your concerns, with your burdens. But if you know someone who is willing to listen, is willing to hear you, then you don't hide anything from them. You share your heart. You know that you're going to be heard. And that's how it is with the Lord. The Catechism very beautifully expresses that in the words that we just read. Christ wants to kindle in us what is basic to our prayer, the childlike awe and trust that God through Christ has become our Father. And you see, that's what Jesus is doing here. With each command, with each word, He's pressing on us that privilege and responsibility that we have of prayer. These words call us to one who knows what we need. Matthew Henry puts it this way. He said, they teach us to pray often, to pray with sincerity, with seriousness, to pray and pray again, to make a conscious to make a conscious effort of prayer and to be constant in prayer, to make a business of prayer, and to be earnest in prayer. That's the way Matthew Henry puts it. What you need to see in all these words is that there is an ascending order to it. There's a growing ascension in the way that it's brought across. Though they're all speaking with that same purpose, there's an ascending urgency in them. We're to ask. But more than that, we're to seek. And more than that, we're to knock. So first there's that general term for ask. It's important that we understand what that means. Ask basically here means to beg, to plead. It's also used for someone who's pleading a case before a judge. And so the Lord here is telling us to plead, to beg, and to ask. The word refers to a petition that might be addressed from an inferior to a superior in society. And it's written this way to help us to have that humility, to have that realization of our needs and that we have to go to the Lord. You know how the parable of the tax collector and the Pharisee goes. The Lord makes a very important point in that parable that with the Pharisee, what did he do? Well, he came to the Lord and he told him all the things that he had done. That was his mistake. He didn't ask for anything. He tells God things. And so he spends his time telling God all the good that he did. But the tax collector, he begs, he asks, he pleads with the Lord in prayer. He realizes his great need that he's a sinner. That he comes before his heavenly Father. And so the Lord, he instructs us to ask. That teaches what the demeanor of our heart should be before the Lord. We ought to be humble and conscious of our need. And note the second word there, seek. It's the same word that you use for looking for something. You seek in order to find. It's one thing to ask, but to seek, that requires a higher level of commitment. And the idea is not only to express our need, but to get up and look around for help. It involves effort. It's like when you have an expensive necklace, a pearl necklace. And let's say that's a gift that you have been given. Not an average day piece of jewelry, but something that's very costly. And it happens that necklace gets broken and all the pearls end up going on the ground. You get down on all fours and you seek for those pearls. You look for every piece, scouring and searching. You actively endeavor to get everything back. That's what this word means. We seek from God what we need. We find Him and discover that He is exactly what we desire. And so there's that single-mindedness that the Lord here is saying we're to have in prayer. And we're to knock, which is to seek something that is inaccessible to us. We have tried and failed to attain something, to open a door, but we cannot. God can, and He will open it for us if it is right for us. This is told in the parallel passage in Luke 11. We have that parable of that person who, in the middle of the night, received guests. And he didn't have anything to feed them. He knew that his neighbor was next door and he had bread. And so he goes to him at midnight and asks for bread. He's knocking and saying, "Friend, give me bread." And the friend answers him by saying, "Don't bother me. The door is now shut. My family is in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. But with persistence and with boldness, he keeps on knocking. And Jesus says, I say to you, though this friend will not rise and give to him because he is still his friend, because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many loaves as he needs. So ask, seek, and knock. All indicate those things. Not only a demeanor of humility, not only a single-minded desire, but also a diligence in seeking God's favor. Each of these things are secrets to our prayer life. Asking implies humility and consciousness of need. Jesus wants us to do this continually. That doesn't come out so much here in the English, but in the original Greek, in the verb tense, it's a continual asking, a continual seeking, a continual knocking as we continually come to Him. Now, it's hard to do that. It's hard to keep on praying. J.C. Ryle put it this way. He said, it's far easier to begin a habit of prayer than to keep it up. Thousands take up a habit of praying for a little season after some special mercy or special affliction, and then little by little become cold about it, and at last lay it aside. Let us resolve by God's mercy that however poor and feeble our prayers may seem to be, we will pray on. We will pray on. So how about you? Do you pray with that same sense of earnest in your prayers, in your prayer life? Do you go to the Lord feeling like you really need much? Or are we so satisfied with this life and its immediate pleasures that we forget the Lord? Are we patiently pursuing what is good? You know, that's the heart of prayer. Seeking what is good in accordance to God's will. He is not a parent who just spoils his children. No, he gives gifts which are always designed for our best interests. The thing is, we have to ask. That's why James says, you have not because you do not ask. But if we ask, the Father will give what is needed. And that especially comes in times of crises, times of difficulty, when things are going wrong. This is true in the case of an accident or an illness or something terrible that happens to us. From the depths of our hearts comes this crying out to the Lord. You remember Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane, it was there that our Savior was under great agony when he saw the bitter cup and what he had to go through. He knew what he was called to do. He was to be separated from his Father's love. He was to endure God's punishment for our sins. And it's in that situation that he called out to his Father saying, Abba, Abba Father. There was that intimacy and depth in his prayer. And we're to have that same kind of persistence in our prayers, coming boldly to the Lord. And we find the scriptures are just full of this, even the Old Testament. Isaiah 63, for example, says, you, O Lord, are our Father, our Redeemer from everlasting is your name. Or Psalm 103, as a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. And you remember what Jesus said about this? In the Gospel of John, Jesus said, whatever you ask in my name, I will do it, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. And so what a blessing it is that we can come to the Father, to our Heavenly Father, with this kind of boldness and with this kind of persistence for how much we need His daily help. Well, not only do we pray with persistence and boldness to our Father, we also pray, secondly, with expectation. We pray with expectation in answer to our needs. And we see this again in verses 7 and 8. There is this threefold command, but with this threefold command comes promises. In fact, there's three commands, but there are six promises. Twice the number of promises to the commands given. And these promises are not loaned to us. They're not sold to us. We ask, and it is given. Verse 7. That's the first promise. Seek, and you will find. That's the second promise. Knock, and it will be opened. That's the third promise. The door of mercy will be opened by prayer. And notice verse 8, there's the fourth promise there. For everyone who asks, receives. This isn't for everyone. It's only those who ask in faith. And it's not just the super great Christians, you know, the apostles or some extra special super saints who get this. No, it is God's children. When they come believing before the Lord. And the fifth promise is he who seeks finds, as Jesus repeats this, to give that assurance that our prayers will be answered. And then the sixth promise is to him who knocks, it will be opened. And that's an encouragement to persevere in prayer. God is a generous Father to give us what we truly need. And when we have the audacity to pray the way that Jesus taught us to pray, God has promised to hear us and to answer us. Everyone who asks in faith will receive. Everyone who seeks with a sincere heart will find. Everyone who knocks on the door of Jesus Christ will go in and be saved. Jesus tells us not to hold back, but to go to God and to ask for what we need. And of course, Jesus is not saying that his Father will give us anything and everything that we want. In Luke chapter 11, which is the parallel passage to this text in Matthew, it's spoken in the context of the Lord's Prayer. He's speaking about praying for lawful things, or making lawful requests according to God's revealed will, which is the Scriptures. And so what does this mean to us in terms of application? Well, the kind of praying here is based on knowledge. We need to know God's will, and we need to submit to it. All that Jesus says here presupposes that we know God's word, and that we're subject to His will. And it presupposes that we have faith in Him. It presupposes that we believe in Him, that we trust in Him. This is, again, the prayer of God's saints. This isn't just anybody. This is God's saints, God's children. Not just anyone. God hears the voice, the voices of His people. And so if we follow the pattern of Scripture, the Lord will bless. For instance, a pastor will pray for God's material gifts upon the congregation, but he'll also pray for spiritual gifts. He won't just be praying about buildings and budgets, but he'll be praying that God may give us all that we need spiritually. It's better for him to pray that the local church would grow spiritually, and that all who seek Christ will find him, that the church will be a place welcome to those who are lonely and desperate. They would be welcome and find a home. That the church would grow in its knowledge and obedience to God. And that when things go wrong in the church, we should pray that we will trust one another and think the best of each other. That old wounds won't be picked at. And that God would heal us. And that the dark days may recede. Those are the kind of prayers that the Lord hears. Or you're in need of wisdom. And you know it. You know it. You know that you need wisdom. What are you to do? Well, the Lord says to you, come to me. James chapter 1 says, if any of you lacks what? If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives it liberally, without reproach, and it will be given to him. Or you're praying for people in your family who are not saved, people in your family who are wayward. And you pray for this. You pray for the Lord to reach into their souls with his Holy Spirit. Just to give an example of this, this comes from George Mueller, who was a someone who headed up a Christian orphanage in the late 1800s in England. A godly man of prayer. And he says that he prayed for one of his friends for almost 60 years. He never gave up on that. And that man was saved, even though his conversion came sometime after George Mueller's death. So persevering in prayer means praying and praying and praying for the global work of the gospel. Praying that the gospel would reach into hearts of people. You know, if Muslims, Hindus, Buddhists are going to be saved, it will be because of prayers being answered. These things don't come automatically. This is not some kind of magic formula or that just happens. We're to pray for that. To be renewed, that they would be renewed by the Holy Spirit, by his reviving and reforming power. Why are we to pray like this? Not because God is counting on our prayers and waiting until we reach a certain number before he will answer, but because when Jesus taught us to pray, he told us to have the audacity to keep telling our Father what we need. We come again and again praying. Which brings us to our last point. And that is that we're to pray with confidence. We're to pray with confidence in our Father's wise care. And we see this in verses 9 to 11 as Jesus wants to assure us that God hears us and will give us what is good. Luke 11, the parallel passage, states it this way. He says, if a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he give him a scorpion? And then Jesus adds, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Just to think of how God cares for us in that way. It's almost unbelievable. That's what the Catechism says to us today, question 120. Question and answer 120, God has become our Father through Christ and will much less deny us what we ask of him in true faith than our parents will refuse us earthly things. Again, we can't help but think of how this is similar to our own normal and natural family relationships. As our kids depend upon us so much. They look to us for very basic needs in life. Think of a little child. Who will look after him? What if his father was to neglect him and to never feed him? That child would become thinner and thinner and die. So much depends on the father. What would happen if He had no access to clean water if he wasn't bathed. Well, he'd end up being smelly, dirty. He'd get sick. And yet, all these things we just so automatically give to our children without even thinking about it. To think that our Father in heaven loves us much more. Loves us perfectly. He's the best Father. What does that mean? That God is our Heavenly Father? It means that we have a reverence and a fear for Him. But also means that the Almighty God is our own Father. He's good to us because we are His children by adoption. That doesn't mean that He will answer our prayers always the way that we want Him to. But He does give us what we need. The Lord God hears our prayers, and we're to trust Him to answer wisely and graciously. To state it more positively, because He is our Father, He wants to hear our voice. He wants to hear our praise. He wants to hear our concerns. Consider the great advantage that we have, congregation. As Christ is saying, we have permission to speak to the Father directly. That's not what Muslims believe. They don't believe that about God. Allah is far away from them. He's distant from man's problems. It's the same for a Buddhist. They may have their gold-painted statues surrounded by flickering candles. But what does a Buddha do? Can they hear prayers? Not at all. Yet that's not true of the living God, creator of the heavens and the earth. He's not a God of wood or stone that has been made with man's hands or who needs to be worshipped with our hands. He doesn't need anything from us. God gives life, and all depend upon Him. Again, just think of how the Catechism explains this very beautifully in Lord's Day 9, where it reminds us that we don't need to doubt that our Father will provide everything that is necessary for body and soul. Why? Because He's both willing and able to help us. He's Almighty God, the maker of the heavens and the earth, who governs and controls this entire universe. And therefore, we're not deceiving ourselves when we cry out to Him, believing His promise. For since we are in Jesus Christ, since we're saved by our sins, when we believe in Him, we're His children. And as His children, we're to be depending upon Him. As Romans 8, verse 32 says, He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? The question is, will you go to Him and ask? Will you go to Him and ask? Will you ask for what you need? Asking, seeking, knocking. May that be true of all of us today. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank You for the privilege of prayer, to be able to talk with You, to be able to share the desires of our hearts with You. And we ask that You would give us the grace to trust You, to always know that Your answers will be better than our own answers, and to persevere in prayer, to have that kind of a humble disposition before You. Give us the Spirit of Christ as we pray, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.